We're starting a new sermon series this morning entitled Life Together, and it's based on a book by the same title by a guy by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And so he was a German theologian who lived in the time of the Nazi regime. And because of his participation in some of the resistance to the Nazi regime, was actually hanged in one of the concentration camps as a result of kind of his involvement with some of that. And so he wrote a couple of pieces. He wrote some stuff, and one of the books that he wrote was called Life Together. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to just spend some time with that, and that's going to be kind of a part of the place where our time together, our sermon series, comes over the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to pray, and we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again because we know that you're here with us, and so we ask that you would help us to be present with you, to continue to be present with you. And we pray that even if just for a moment you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week or the week ahead or a new school year or trying to figure out our schedules and all that stuff that comes with that. If you might help us even if just for a moment to set that stuff off to the side so that we would hear your voice. And that we would hear the things that you would have for us. And Lord, I pray that your word would be fresh and new to us this morning. And that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours, we pray. Amen. If you're taking notes or writing things down, Psalm 133, verse 1, is going to be sort of the foundation of the sermon this morning. And we'll talk about a couple of other things, but just to be keeping this verse kind of on your mind as we spend some time together this morning. Psalm 133, verse 1. Pretty simple, and yet has a lot of stuff in it for us to be thinking about. The psalmist writes, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Bonhoeffer talked about this idea of the common life under the Word, and that Word being Christ. Another way you could think about it, or we could think about it, would be Christian community. And so when we think about, well, what does it mean for us to share and to be in this common life together under Christ? It's important to think about it first from the standpoint that it is not some sort of ideal that we're trying to strive for, but it's instead a reality that God has created that we may participate in. So the common life that we can share together is not something that we sort of dream about and, you know, that we kind of go, oh, wouldn't it be great if... But instead, it's this thing that God has divinely created, a reality that you and I can choose to participate in together. This common life, this shared thing that we can actually know, that we can live in, that is a tangible thing for us, even in our day-to-day lives. Now, we enter into this common life not by making demands, but as those who thankfully receive. And so it's not a thing where we come into this common life together, the shared thing that we have together that we call Christian community. Oftentimes we think of it church. But this idea of, hey, but it's more than that, right? Because it's easy to play church. We've all been there. We all have done it. Church is an easy thing to play. But the common life that we share is deeper than sort of just this thing that we play or that we pretend, right? Let's pretend church today. But that we come together and we're living this kind of shared common life, this under Christ, that we're doing it together. And we come not making demands. Well, I'm only going to do this. I'm only going to live in this common life, the shared thing together, if this and this and this and this happens. Oh, and this. But instead of coming into it making demands, we move into it just thankful as people, as individuals who are thankfully receiving what God has in store for us. Sometimes not even really aware of what that might be until we sort of move into that life together. And so we move into it not by ones as making demands, but as individuals who thankfully receive. We thank God for what he has done in us and through us and for us, and are thankful for God giving us other individuals, other Christians who are living God's call, his forgiveness, and his promise. Like, that's one of the things that was fascinating as I've been spending time with this over the last now a number of weeks, is I forget that. That there are times when I forget to be thankful that you are trying to live under God's call and his forgiveness and his promise. Like, I think about it, like, what does it mean for me to internalize that? What does it mean for me to live and follow God's call, to pursue it? What does it mean for me to hold on to God's forgiveness that he promises to me? And I try to work through that. And sometimes I think culturally, we're just really individualistic, right? I mean, it's kind of about me and how I do it and how I want it and things like that. And so sometimes I have to be reminded that I'm also thankful for you as you are striving to live under God's call and his promise and his forgiveness. And so then it's kind of becomes a cool thing in this common life that we share as Christians, this Christian community, that you are also striving to follow Jesus. Sometimes I get so focused on Jesus, how are we doing today? That I miss that you are also trying to, and to be thankful for that. To be thankful that we have a community of people who are also trying to be aware of and live under God's call, his forgiveness, and his promise. And so we try not to, that hopefully that helps us not to complain about what we don't have, but instead are thankful for the work that God is doing daily in us, through us, among us. I think that it's possible that if we fail to give thanks for the things that God is doing in this common life together, that we actually then hinder the growth in our community that Christ would have for us. That when we get so focused on the things that aren't going our way, the things that don't meet our expectations, if we're continually kind of thinking about those things, that we're actually making it more difficult for the growth to happen that Christ would have for us as a Christian community. I remember we have three children. Theodore is going to be 5 in November, and Sadie is going to be 3 in October, and Cecil will be 1 in October. And I remember when we were pregnant with, I say we, I mean, Ty, obviously, I was kind of along for the ride. And so when we were pregnant with Theodore, and I remember that during the birth process, you know, they got them like everything hooked up so you're aware of just everything, which is freaky, to be honest. And so I remember as watching this particular number as we were in labor. And it was, were able to monitor Theodore's heart rate. And I remember watching that number and every move, up or down, either way. There's a range, you know, where they say of the heart rate of a baby should be, you know, this to this. And anytime it would start to creep towards one of those ends, I think my own heart rate started to go up. And I was watching it, and I was freaking out when it would go one way or go the other. And it wasn't until and they were monitoring it for a long time, and it wasn't until the doctor, you know, or the nurse would come in and they'd print out that piece of paper that would then, you know, it's this really long thing, they rip it, and they kind of go, okay, here's a snapshot of this. And they go, this is where you should be spending your time looking at. The overall picture of this time, not in the moment by moment change up or down in that instant. Because in the instant, it was freaking me out. But then when she prints it out and she rips it off, she goes, hey, look, when you look at the whole thing, he's right where he needs to be. Oh. And so when we move into the common life together and we think about Christian community, it's not unlike that. That is not a thing designed that we should be continually keeping the pulse of our common life together, so that if we come into this thing and there are expectations that we have and we miss some sort of expectation, that in that moment we go, well, forget this thing. This is pointless. This is terrible. It's not intended to be something that we continually have our finger on the pulse, but that instead where we look and see where are we going and what are we doing and how are we sharing this life together. One of the things that I found really interesting that Bonhoeffer wrote in his book, he said that the word of God is stronger in the mouth of another than in our own hearts. The word of God is stronger in the mouth of another than in our own hearts. And I wrestled with this for a little bit, and then as I started to think about it, I went, oh, I can see that. So we read God's word, and it pronounces that we are forgiven and that we are free, even when we don't feel like we are forgiven and free. God's word says, promises that we are forgiven and free, even when we don't feel. God's word also pronounces us guilty, even when we don't feel the guilt of our own sin. And so I was thinking about this idea of God's word being stronger in the mouth of another than in my own heart, and then started to think about, yeah, we need someone else to speak that promise into our lives. Right? That's why we can't be Christians in isolation. Because there will be times when your faith is so shaky, when you don't feel the promise of God's freedom or his forgiveness or the conviction of the guilt of your own sin, that we need another to speak that into our lives. That we need someone else who's the words of God on their mouth to say, no, Matt, no, you are forgiven. You are free in and through Christ. And we hold on to that promise. And in that moment, it's stronger than my own, right? Because on my own, there are times when my faith can be pretty shaky and weak. And then God's word, through the mouth of another, renews my hope and my strength. Now, there's also times when I think I'm pretty good. Like, I'm good. I'm doing good. I'm straight and narrow. I'm where I need to be. And oh, I mean, you know, that wasn't that big a deal, or I did this thing, or I said this thing, and it's fine. Like, it's fine. Nobody was hurt. It wasn't a thing. And then God's word on the lips of another remind me that even in the midst of where I think I'm where I need to be or should be, or that I'm not, I'm reminded of where I need to be. And so the importance of this common life that we share and the goal of this life together. I mean, think about this. The goal of common life of this Christian community together is that we would encounter one another as the bringers of the message of salvation. I mean, that as we share this Christian community together, that you and I are bringing the message of salvation to one another. In those moments when I don't feel free, when I don't feel forgiven, when I don't feel saved, that we are bringing that message to one another. In those moments when I don't think I need to be forgiven or I don't think I need to be saved, we're bringing that message of salvation to one another. And so this experience of common life becomes a way in which it changes us, it transforms us, it encourages us. God put his word into the mouths of humans so that it might be shared with others. And we share that message when we share this life together. I mean, one of the things that he highlights over and over again is the importance of not being in isolation. You have said it. You have thought it. I have thought it. You've talked to people who have said it all the time. I don't really do church because I can, and fill in the blank, right? Because I can meet God here. I have my own kind of spirituality here. I do this there. I do that there. Is God there? Yes. But you cannot be a Christian in isolation. We must be in the church together. We need each other. Now, when we think about this idea of Christian community, of course, we are reminded and recognize that Christian community is no more than or no less than in or through Christ. The foundation, the cornerstone, the means by which Christian community is even possibly a thing is in and through Christ. I mean, think, there is no way that this number of people, and we pray and hope that more people at some point, right, as they come to know us and know Christ, there is no way that we can live in peace and unity and service and love with each other without Jesus. I mean, right, this is a matter of time before we want to just kill each other. I mean, before we're just like, you're so annoying, I can't stand you, or you did this thing and I disagree with, or you said this thing and that was dumb, or whatever, right, whatever, or maybe me on a weekly basis, right, whatever it is. Like, there's no way that we can live in this thing, share this common life without Christ. The psalmist writes, it is how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. There is no way that we can, with all of the different opinions that we have in this room right now, on every issue under the sun, without the unity of Christ, there's just no way it's going to happen. There's no way that we're going to have this common shared Christian community experience without Christ, who's going to allow us to love each other, serve each other, encourage each other, forgive each other. And so all of that happens in and through Christ. And it's in Christ and through Christ that we seek our salvation, our deliverance, our justification, our freedom, and it's not through ourselves. This church is not going to save you. Christ will save you, and hopefully you will find Christ here. But just coming to church or just being a part of this church isn't it. It's not enough. Salvation is, we're never going to find it in ourselves. And for some of us, for so long, we have been trying and trying desperately to save ourselves. And we find ourselves sitting here even this morning going, it still isn't working. And it won't. But Christ will and can. And so we think about that this Christian community is not more than or less than anything in or through Christ. Now, I think sometimes it's easy to take the ability for us to live together as Christians, it's easy to take it for granted. I mean, this is a guy who wrote a book in the midst of a terrible time in world history. In the heart of where things, where evil was and was growing. And so you hear a guy who talks about the importance of not taking Christian community for granted. Because there was a point when he was plucked from his and no longer had it. I mean, even if you think about, go a little bit further back from that, and you think about Jesus. I mean, Jesus lived in the midst of his enemies. I mean, there were constantly people trying to knock Jesus down. And so when we talk about the Christian life and Christian community and the importance of not living in isolation, not only just by myself, but also not just like, hey guys, let's have this common life that we share together as Christians. Because we have some shared values of some things. We don't all share the same opinion on a lot of stuff. And that's a good thing. We'd be super boring if we did. But we share some things about who and what Jesus is and what he's done and what he's doing and some things like that that are, we hold on to that and we share that. And if we just kind of were like, hey guys, let's just be us, right? Because Jesus, yeah. Then that just becomes a creepy thing. I mean, Jesus lived in the midst of people who wanted to kill him and eventually did. And so I wonder if we think about what it means to share this common life together, that it also means that we have to live in uncommon places. Here's what I mean by living in uncommon places, the uncommon life, is that we come in together and we have some things that we sort of share together, okay? The idea of common life is that there are some things that we share together. We share things about faith and Jesus and things like that, right? Lots of different opinions, which is all good. But we share some things. Now, I think it's important for us as Christians to be thinking about and finding ways where we live in the uncommon spaces. And what that means is that then we no longer share what's happening around us. Here, we can come in and talk about Jesus, and everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, he's cool, great. The Bible, yeah, sure, trying to read it, cool. Prayer, yeah, sometimes, all right. But there are places where I think we are called to live where it is in the uncommon space, so that our thoughts or our values or the things that we think about, our faith, is not a shared thing. And it's there where we find our work and our mission. And so if you're living in a way where the common life is the only life that you know and you have, so that everyone that you're around is just is a common shared thing, then I'm not sure that you're really living what it means to follow Jesus. There's got to be a part of it where we come and we're shared, right? It's common. There's another part that Jesus, I think, calls us to go where we move into the uncommon spaces. Where now I'm in with a group of people and I may be the only one who professes to follow Jesus. And it doesn't even mean that people are hostile towards church or faith or Jesus. It just means that they maybe are indifferent, don't care, doesn't matter, don't think about it. Maybe it's some other faith that they profess. But there's got to be a place where we find ourselves in the uncommon spaces. Because that's where we find our mission and our work. Now, when we move into those uncommon places, it's important for us to do so in a way where we begin to love other people and strive to love other people for the people who God took on flesh and died and rose again for, who won their forgiveness. So I'm moving into these uncommon places and these uncommon spaces in a way where I can love people that is not me projecting things onto them, right? I talked a little bit about the needs earlier in the service, like projecting needs onto our community. I'm also not moving into the uncommon spaces trying to project what someone should be or who they should be or what they should do, but instead I'm moving into those spaces, just loving, trying to, right, striving to love someone for who Christ was willing to become man and to die and to rise again for their forgiveness. So I'm trying to love people from the perspective of seeing them as Christ sees them. Not going in, trying to project something or trying to necessarily even change them. I think when we move into the uncommon spaces, which is why I think the common life is really important, when we share that together, it strengthens us, it prepares us, it encourages us to move into the uncommon where we don't have all of our Jesus buddies with us. And we move into those spaces and we're striving to love people in a way that Christ sees them and loves them. That then they might be interested in to learn a little bit more about who this Jesus guy is that you and I claim to follow. Because I'm not projecting this thing on them like, well, you know, Jesus doesn't want you to do that. And they'll say, well, you can kindly move along out of my uncommon space to you. It's also, I think, the willingness that when we move into that uncommon space and we can love in the way that Jesus loves and see people the way that Jesus sees them, that I can also let them go. I can give them the freedom and to explore and to think and to live and trust that God is gonna care for them, that He's gonna love them, that He's gonna that His Spirit will move and work in a way that may turn their attention towards Him. That there's not some sort of agenda that I go into those uncommon spaces with, but in a way in which I can just simply love people as Christ loves people and then let Him do His thing. It's not so much the experience of Christian community that I think is what really holds us together, but I think it's the faith inside of the Christian community that holds us together. Because we could come in and we can play church and we can leave today. We'll have some food here in a little bit and it'll be good and we'll have fun and it'll be fine. And we'll leave and we'll feel good about, like, that was good. All right. You know, Jesus and church. Yeah. And we could walk away from that as if that was like what church was and Christian community was. But we could also do the exact same thing like up the road at the park, or we could do that, you know, over at the country club down the road. I mean, we can do that stuff wherever. So it's not as much, I don't think, this just the community aspect that binds us, but it's the faith that then pulls us and holds us together. We're bound by faith, not by experience. And so my hope and my prayer is that we might see the community of believers, of the Christian community and our common life together as a gift of God's grace. That there is a group of people sit in this room that we would, by God's grace, choose to be doing this together. I mean, that's a gift, that you would choose to be here on Sunday morning and put up with me. That whoever's sitting next to you would choose to be here by God's grace to put up with you. And then how we do that together, again, right? And it's only in and through Christ that we are able to put up with each other. And then ways in which we can invite people into that story and into this common life where we can speak the promises of God to each other. God does love you. God has forgiven you. You are free through Christ. You are not perfect. You are sinful and you need to be saved. And you will not save yourself, but Christ can and will. Right? We need to hear those things and invite people into that, because there is freedom. There is love. There is service. There is unity. And may we see that this common life together is a gift of God's grace. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you gather together a really imperfect people. And man, you know that we are broken, that we are flawed, that we are sinful, that we are selfish, that we lose patience, that we get frustrated. And yet by your grace, you bring us together and you keep us together. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we continue to move forward as Gateway Community Church, that you would help us to not just be trying to create some sort of experience that we have together, but that we would help each other grow in our faith, in our relationship with you, that in a way through that then we have this common life, this shared Christian community that we can invite, always be looking to invite others into. And I pray that you would be with us, that you would challenge us, give us the boldness to move into the uncommon places where we become the one who stands out because of our relationship with you. not in some awkward or weird way, but in a way where we're just trying to love people as you love them. And not creating this bubble of Christian isolation that we hide under or we take shelter in, but that you have called us, you've commanded us to go into the uncommon places. And so we give you thanks that we can come together and share this common thing, and that we would be encouraged and that we would be strengthened by that, so that we might then go out into our community, into our workplaces, into our schools, into our neighborhoods, so that people might become aware of the freedom and the peace, the unity and love that can be found in and through you, we pray. Use us. Use us in ways that we could never even imagine to help create that kind of community in our community, we pray.